Welcome to the program today on this Wednesday. It is 1:08 right now, and this is Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki and Ag Director Bridget Riedel. We've got some fun things coming up on the program today. We got a recurring guest. That's going to be Kevin Folta from the University of Florida.
Dr. Folta.
He's a professor in microbiology. We're going to be touching on a little bit about appeal and food waste. And last time he was on, he talked to us a lot about mRNA
vaccines
yep, and what those exactly are.
And why not to be afraid.
Yes. So we'll be having a fun conversation with Dr. Folta coming up here in just a moment. And if you want to send questions in, for that, or just join our conversation at any point in time, feel free to do so. Give us a call, 701-293-9000. Emails to the program, that's weatherorag@flagfamily.com, and you can watch those live streams and comment boxes over there on Facebook and YouTube Live. Yep, this is day five or six. Still dealing with this pesky what. Dean, how is yours getting?
I don't stand close to you two.
It's not that bad.
It's not like we're not sick. But the voice is just taking a beating.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Drop it back to God.
If you'd shut up for 5 minutes off air, it might help.
So loud in the weather office every day. So loud.
Oh man. How you guys doing?
Fabulous.
Good. Looking forward to Thursday.
Your Friday Eve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your Friday Eve. Mm. What comes after Thursday?
Vacation.
A vacation day. Where are you going this time?
Into 110 degree heat for five straight days. Can't beat it. Little hiking.
It's a dry heat.
You're on your own in Arizona.
Little hiking.
That's fine. We'll toilet paper your house.
Yeah,
before
you think, and you think because it's so dry here that it's messing with your voice. Wait till you go to the really dry heat.
We'll be drinking plenty of water.
Yeah, you'll be drinking all sorts of mixed water, won't you?
Yes, we will.
Well, we wish you the best, Dean. We hope you enjoy your time,
and
you come back with a nice sunburn to remind yourself of where you left.
I'll be coming back to warm weather, too.
Yeah, it's not going to be all that bad. Well, things cool down a little bit for a couple days, but even that, right after, I mean, it's just...
We warm back up, like
almost 2 weeks of above average temperatures with a couple days sprinkled in there where it's a cool.
You're going to come back with... harvest on your mind, because by the time you get back, we're going to be super close to harvesting.
We're actually very close right now to harvesting.
Justin and I went to the field yesterday. You'll see our corn right over here. So we brought you a sample. Mm-hmm.
Can we put this in a popcorn machine?
I would not recommend it.
You could try. Popcorn.
Okay. Yes.
Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to get, I'd say, probably about 20 more sacks about the same size. Maybe a little bit more. Let's say 25 sacks more.
Yeah.
And we're going to ship it off and we're going to turn it into whiskey.
Now, my next question for you is, after we collected our ears of corn, and then we took this little beauty and we shucked them. Mm. We shucked the husks off.
Yeah.
And then we took the kernels off with this. So, Dean, how many ears of corn did it take for us to fill that bag?
How many ears are in that bag?
How many ears in the bag? They can hear you. They're listening.
Yeah, be careful.
What is this?
Don't try and make a necklace out of them.
5 pounds?
Sure.
Roughly.
Sure, yeah, let's go with that.
How many ears of corn
did that take?
Yeah.
20.
Well, you're considerably way off.
Really?
Yeah, yes. You're about double.
That was 11.
It really? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And we
but good guess.
Came in. This is, and of course, this is not a great representation of the entire field, but we came in at about 23.5% moisture. So
and we need it what, down to 11?
Well, you can harvest at 23.
You could harvest at 23. I think there's a lot of folks that are probably going to look at right around 20.
Okay.
Our neighbor was actually harvesting while we were out there.
And I spoke with our farmer cooperators after the fact, Trigvi, Justin, and Parker, and they made mention that there is a disease in a number of corn acres in that neighborhood called anthracnose.
Uh-oh, is that a spider thing?
Not quite. But there
I hate
are,
spiders.
We know. You looked yesterday, too.
Yeah.
But there are some fields that are combining early because they dry down prematurely. So they're going to see a lower test weight, lower moisture than we will have. So we are keeping our fingers crossed that things are outstanding. Justin is still holding in there for the highest bid, you might say, on yield.
Would you go 2.25?
I'm going for 225 bushels. That was my guess for what we would get this year per acre.
Yep. Just go after it all.
And, I don't know. I think we'll be close. I don't know. I hit a new record in corn bushels the other night in my farming simulator game, though. And? I switched farms. I moved down to Iowa, sadly enough, and that's where I'm farming now. But I hit 302 bushels in my corn.
That is not the world record yet, if
no,
I'm not mistaken.
No, it's far from the record. Empire, yes. Well, pretty good.
But I think you did well. Nice.
Yeah it was a good
year. What part of Iowa?
I think it's Teton County. I think that's how I pronounce Teton. I don't know. I have to go back and read the name
like
of the map.
T-E-T-O-N, Teton?
Something like that, okay. if that's Iowa.
Is it a real county?
I think it is.
I think
a real
simulator
a
it
real
is.
Spot in,
yeah,
in
I
Iowa.
Think it is. So Dean's now checking.
Yeah, you go look at the counties of Iowa.
Okay, and so Justin, when he comes
well,
back.
Did you live in Iowa? In Iowa?
Better
oh,
yet.
Oh, he did, he says. The microphone,
better,
Dean.
Better yet, while Dean is gone, what's the weather going to be for those of us who are going to be living it up here in North Dakota?
Well, I'll tell you what. The weather's looking nice. And
where's my rain? Dean.
Sorry, Parker, no rain in the forecast this week, just dry conditions, well above average, and it's going to stay like that with an exception for a couple of days. What we're looking at for this afternoon, temperatures right now sitting at a very cozy 80 degrees. Your dew point, I see Dr. Kevin Folta there in the background, he might appreciate that. That's 52 degrees right now instead of probably 75 like it is down in Florida. And we're going to see the dry humidity or the less humidity lasting throughout most of this week as well. We'll top out in the mid-80s today with plenty of sunshine, light wind out of the southwest around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, down to a low in the mid-50s, and we'll bounce back to the mid, a couple upper 80s possible for your Thursday, but it will be windy tomorrow. We'll have south winds picking up around 15 to 30 miles an hour, and especially just west of the Red River Valley, we'll see some wind gusting as high as 40 or 45 miles an hour. So it's going to be a blustery day, strongest winds west of the valley, but still windy here in Fargo with sunny skies. Wind backs off on Friday, still low 80s, and we'll stay in the low 80s and upper 70s over the upcoming weekend. Now, Monday and Tuesday of next week, it looks like we're going to drop into the 60s. But quickly warm up for a couple days into the 70s for Wednesday and at least the first half of Thursday before we drop back into the mid-60s. And even that's about where we should be for this time of year is mid-60s is our average high for today, about 65 degrees. So we're well above average with our expected high of 85. Dean, how's your homework?
Well, it's coming up. Actually, I'm getting the answers. We've got a listener in Iowa. He says there's no Teton County. He said he doesn't even know if there's a Teton town.
Well, let's see if I'm going to pull it up.
There's
right
Tama
now.
County. Are you sure it
so,
wasn't Tama?
Tahitian.
Tahitian.
Tahitian County.
Okay, that's a little different.
Yeah, it's Tahitian County, Iowa.
Okay, and this listener also said, hey, y'all should have a contest for that yield on your corn.
We do.
So head on over to Facebook, and you can put it on our Facebook page, Weather Nag and Focus, or like for our listener in Iowa, he can go ahead and just send me his guess, and I will put that on our list of guesses for our corn. Remember, farm average, 195 bushels per acre. So send us what you think your guess is. If you are an active farmer, we are going to make sure you get a grain gauge from IntelliFarms out in Castleton, North Dakota. That's for your grain bin. Or if you are a listener and would like the rain gauge, we have one of those for you. These are the National Weather Service approved, made by Productive Alternatives in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Quality, fantastic rain gauges that we use right here at the station. So while you guys are searching on your situation
in
Iowa.
Those are made up counties on this game.
Okay.
It says Tahitian County, Iowa. If it's not a real county, maybe it's based off of a real county. Man.
Okay, so and our listener is in Tama County, T-A-M-A. Tama. So Tama. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot from Iowa today,
kids. Look at that. Lots. People from Iowa.
That's good corn growing area there.
And I think he's happy with his corn, to be honest.
I guess my question is for who's messaging you, is 300 average for Iowa? Is that a good what's average in Iowa? Because up here, it's upper 100s is good.
I'm going to message him back and say, what's your county average?
There we go. We're going to find out all sorts of stuff. Maybe I was a terrible farmer.
And we're going to find out what...
Totally could be a thing.
And we're going to get even better things from our guest today. And again, that's Dr. Kevin Folta. He is with the University of Florida. We have had him on before, as you mentioned, Justin. Mm-hmm. We talked about mRNA vaccines in livestock specifically. And today we had a listener question about appeal. What is it? Is it good, bad, otherwise? And
that's what's on the outside of an apple, right? Appeal?
Appeal. But this is even better than just that. There you go.
Oh, man.
Dr. Folta
more to come.
He is a wealth of information. He has been greatly informative when it comes to knocking down food myths as well as agricultural myths in many ways.
And if Justin's jokes keep getting any worse, Our guest is not, he's not going to want to join us again after today.
The fact that he came back after he heard our jokes the first go around is
shocking. Good point.
There's not very many people that come back a second time.
No, I know. But I would like to say, you know, here we are. We have got corn and cattle. We really are a farm show. We got all the stuff laid out here on the desk. It's going to be quite the day to talk.
Fun stuff. Well, all right. That coming up after the American Ag Network. Stay right where you're at.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And so today, I want to say thank you to sponsors for our Here We Grow project, where Justin and I were just there yesterday. We got those 11 ears of corn all shelled out right here in our bag. That's how much it is.
How many kernels per ear?
A lot. You start counting, and we'll let you know when we're done.
Okay.
You let me know at the end of the show how
that
you
might
did.
Take a while.
Count all the kernels, divide by 11. Do you have an average?
Oof. All right.
Just let me know how it goes.
Okay.
North Dakota State Services, Mark Wagner, he was extremely helpful in this project. Thank you, Mark. He has done great work by coming in the studio to share information with many others about estate services and trust planning. And Justin and I both went to the field in our Red Wing shoes yesterday. They were handy, but they're not quite track shoes like we ran down the corn rows. It was close.
It was.
This should be good video.
Oh, it should be a fun video. He tried to hip check me through a corn.
Oh, I did hip check you. About knocked you over, too.
Explains today's limp. Okay. Today, our guest joining us is Dr. Kevin Folta. He is with the University of Florida, and I got it wrong. I said microbiology. It's actually molecular biology.
Oh, there's a difference there.
Big difference there, I think. And Dr. Folta, how are you today?
Well, waiting for a hurricane to come up here. That's, we're right on the edge.
That was our next question.
Yeah.
No, in anticipation of that, we've got a lot of work to do to just kind of tie everything down, close up the high tunnels. It's a lot of work with tropical storm winds really coming very soon.
And you're in Gainesville, right?
We're in Gainesville right now. My family has a place out by Archer, which is towards the Gulf side. So we'll see a little worse weather than here.
Ooh. Now, do they shut down the university with storms like this?
Yeah, they are shutting down tomorrow. Today we're open for business and we'll be open on Friday, but it's a wise idea.
Right.
The weather is very unpredictable, trees going down, all that kind of thing. So we'll see where it goes. Mm.
Okay. Dr. Folta came because we had a listener question about appeal, APEEL. Mm-hmm. There are folks that say, this is terrible. It's tragic. It's killing us all. But the bigger question, as Justin said, is, well, what is it?
Yeah, what's appeal?
Now, the whole thing goes back to food waste. When we talk about agricultural production, you know, we know we're limited on land. We know we're limited on resources between water and how much fertilizer we can use. Other inputs make it expensive. How could you make what we produce last longer? And that's been a question for post-harvest physiologists for a long time. One way to do this is to retain the moisture in food items. Post-harvest breakdown is typically characterized by a loss of visual appeal because it loses moisture. It's exposed to oxygen. And those forces alone make it look make it unattractive and lead to food waste. Appeal is a chemical coating that makes the fruit not lose water and makes it impervious to oxygen. And that slows down the unappealing process.
Unappealing. I like that.
And what is this appeal coating made out of, where some people think this is harmful and in reality it's not?
Yeah, it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the internet, it tells you it's made of evil heavy metals and hexane and all kinds of solvents. But actually, it's a number of, two compounds, mono and diglycerides, which is a fancy way of saying it's a glycerin molecule connected to a fatty acid.
We use glycerin in all sorts of things that are in food and so forth. Glycerin's not really a surprise.
I was told we weren't taking chemistry today.
Oh, I'm sorry. And they'll be mad
later.
No,
I'm sorry.
Glycerade. We need to define what that is.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, glycerin is just a very simple molecule that's mixable in water, virtually non-toxic, used as a but in this product, it's conjugated to a fatty acid, which this means is it's a compound which is found throughout nature. It's used, it's produced by plants, produced naturally by plants, but it's used throughout food production, processed foods, mostly as an emulsifier. So you find diglycerides, monoglycerides, as ways to stabilize things like mayonnaise and butter and margarine. They're perfectly safe natural compounds that are used in those applications.
So this appeal, what is appeal being used on? What are the common food items that you're going to come across that have been sprayed or appeal has been used on?
Yeah, so it depends on where you're at. In the United States, it's typically on apples, on avocados, because avocados undergo significant moisture loss in their post-harvest breakdown, especially the thinner-skinned Mexican varieties. In Canada, it's on cucumbers. And in the EU, it's on things like citrus. So all these different fruits, which change radically because of moisture loss, that is extended twice by the use of appeal. So the shelf life is twice as long.
And hold on, you named several fruits that you don't eat that portion. So citrus, we don't necessarily eat the rind, right? And if you washed it off, you could probably grate that to dry that for a zest.
Well, yeah, that's
avocado, you don't eat the skin.
That was my question. Is this a water-soluble compound that you're using on the food? Simply put, if you wash it, it comes off.
It's not a simple rinse off type thing because it does stick to the fruit. It's mm-hmm. formulated that way, but it is the kind of thing that a gentle scrubbing under warm water would easily remove it.
Which aren't we supposed to wash our fruits and vegetables to begin with?
Well, I mean, Dean doesn't wash his mushrooms before.
Well, we've had that talk.
No, I know.
We had to explain to him where those mushrooms were grown.
Here's the bigger follow-up question is, do you wash them off now or do you
your mushrooms?
Your mushrooms.
Depends if I'm in a hurry. It all cooks out when you're sautéing
heat
those.
Heat kills almost everything.
When you're sautéing them, it doesn't
matter.
Except for your
immune system, Dean.
It's very good for your immune system.
Indeed.
It builds up a tolerance.
Okay, so, and would you say, Dr. Folta, that one of the reasons this was brought up to people's attention maybe had to do with the avocados from Mexico, because people were concerned that's a fruit that they love and it's only good for like 3 minutes. So, I mean, at least they are up here, right? You can't hardly get an avocado to last. So it's probably why folks were way bent out of shape about this. Do not make that a sounder. You too, stop. Okay, sorry, Dr. Folta.
No, that's okay. I think the bigger problem is just social media. There's a very small group of folks out there on a couple of websites that I frequent who talk about appeal in very negative ways. According to them, it's the devious method of population control by Bill Gates.
I saw this. Yeah.
I know people like that.
That work here.
Yeah. I mean, offer to go on. For sure.
Well, it also bears in mind the flawed notion that by killing your customers, food producers can sell more produce. That's
pretty counterintuitive there.
It was out loud. Sorry. Yeah.
There are some websites. If you'd like me to mention them, they're hilarious.
I'm writing these down. Thank you.
We need to go look.
All right, if you go to facebook.com, bioengineered food awareness. It's one of the most credulous websites in the world. They have over a million followers. They're actually offshore. They're actually the admins are in Morocco and other places. And you feel that most of the information there is to tarnish the reputation of food and to cause question, fear, and doubt in the American food supply. You insert conspiracy here. But at the same time, they do constantly talk about appeal and how dangerous it is. And it's one of the worst places to get good information.
So if I'm putting the math together here on the whole other side of this conversation is we're going to chem the food to make it poisonous, to kill off all the people so we can sell more food.
Yes, that's perfect. But now Tupperware.
That even makes sense.
But now Tupperware ran out of business, so you can't even hold the food longer.
Finish what you were going to say.
Yes, please.
Now we use chemistry for locking in freshness, going back to the old Tupperware thing. But Bill Gates, he apparently was at the center of this. And it all comes from they received two grants from the Gates Foundation, one in 2012, where they got $99,000 and change. And then in 2015, they got almost $1 million to develop this product. And Gates Foundation has a big component of food security, which a big part of that is, how do you maintain the post-harvest quality of fresh produce?
How long has Appeal been being used?
Yeah, it's been a relatively short time, probably since 2018 or 2019, somewhere in there. Probably the same time that COVID hit.
There we go.
Does go hand in hand.
I think we need to just play a little music here.
Oh,
continue
please.
This conversation now.
You know what? I'm going to need a breather. So it's bottom of the hour news. We're going to have to come back.
Just come on, it's just getting good.
We're coming back. We got a whole longer segment with Dr. Folta. I am so thankful that he answers my messages when I say, would you please come on air with us? Because we enjoy these conversations with him. And as much as you two want to do the whole chemtrail pizzazz over there, we're not going to get that. We don't want that from Dr. Folta today. It's fine. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're going to enjoy the rest of our conversation with Dr. Kevin Folta. He is a molecular biologist with the University of Florida. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And I can't tell who's having more fun today, those listening or those of us here in the studio. But it's a very good day because we have with us our guest, Dr. Kevin Folta. He is molecular biologist with the University of Florida. And we started out talking about Appeal, which some folks think is just a nefarious food additive, but it's not.
No. It's got a purpose.
It's got a purpose. Again, if it's going to keep avocados lasting longer than the 42 seconds on my counter, I'm kind of okay with that.
See, that's crazy. My avocados never ripen. Like, they sit forever.
I bet Kevin's got the best avocados out of all of us down in Florida.
Well, yeah, you make a good point.
Yeah, we grow them at my place. We sell them at the farmer's markets. And we just wrapped up avocado season about 2 weeks ago. Wow. And it's wonderful to have them, you know, on a tree outside, you know, down the street that I can bring home and eat avocados with every single meal. It's awesome.
That's great. They want like $2 an avocado up here.
Yeah, that's
pretty good. Kevin's like, I'll ship you a box.
Yeah, well, so, I'll pay
you. Okay. If we are looking, we talked about some websites that tend to bring out the bad actors on social media in regards to food additives and how, you know, again, it seems crazy that the people who try to feed us are trying to kill us because, you know, talk about negative impact on your customer. Are there some other things that you hear about very regularly, Dr. Folta, that maybe we should be wary of?
You mean in terms of products or in terms of technologies or things like that?
Probably both, because like you said, the internet can be so easily misused. And I got a guy here in you that's an expert, and I'm just curious, what are things that you hear that you just go, stop it, that's crazy?
Oh, the big one that I wrestle with almost daily is glyphosate, which is a tremendous tool for farmers with risks and benefits. We understand what they are very well, very low risk to applicators and dietary consumption residues. Yet the information on that is absolutely off the rails. And I spend a lot of time sorting that one out.
I would agree with you on that one. I mean, if there is a different herbicide that is as most widely researched as probably 2,4-D, and frankly, they are viable tools that we continue to use. And I have debunked plenty of myths about those as well myself. Like you said, we are trying to feed people, not kill people.
Yeah, and that's the real misinformation that we see all the time. This is what I love about being married to a farmer who we do small market, direct market fruit crops. And I'm at the farmer's market selling every Saturday morning. And that is the place where I do the most education about pesticides and other farm inputs, because people don't realize that even organic growers are using some sort of crop protection to mitigate the effects of fungi and bacteria and insects, especially here in Florida, where we grow all those things really well. So we have to protect almost everything with some sort of chemical protection if we don't have good genetics.
Has been all the misinformation, I know Appeal is relatively newer, but with Appeal and all the other things as well, has it always been around, or has it really just kind of taken off in the last handful of years to a decade with the rise of social media?
You know, it's always been around, and especially with the rise of genetically engineered crops, with genetically engineered corn, soy, cotton, and canola, sugar beets, there was a lot of misinformation that came up because that technology came at the same time as the internet. And the misinformation machine could run, and it was uncontested. Scientists didn't meet it. The companies didn't meet it. And the information became very codified. We kind of beat it back. And I think scientists and farmers being a part of the communication line really made it better until around COVID. And then the vaccine really started to show us that maybe these technologies were a little more innocuous. Lately, we've seen a big uptick in the amount of anti-agriculture, anti-farm, anti-technology. I really have noticed it's really back on an uptick.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned was foods need to look good. And I think we forget about that every one of us shops with our eyes, and we skip the bruised fruit, the apples that don't look appealing. And we forget that we have been doing things with food for a long time as far as preservation that were probably a lot less healthy 30 years ago, where we maybe just used solid wax, anything like that. So would you say our food's probably at one of its safest points that it's ever been?
Oh, absolutely. No question that we live in a time of the safest and most abundant food supply, with the monitoring along the supply chain, with RFID, with all the ways that they're able to trace from the person that picks it through the supply chain to that grocery store shelf, where if there is an outbreak of some sort of foodborne illness, you know precisely where it started and where it came from, and can with great confidence be able to recall the food that's in question. So consumers should feel better than they've ever felt about the safety of their food.
Dr. Kevin Folta, what are some of the misconceptions that you've been hearing or heard in terms of just misinformation when it comes to GMO?
Oh gosh, where to start? Mostly that it's harmful to human health, where we've seen in 30 years of use now, no hard evidence of any heart effects on human health, but also the billions of animals that have consumed almost an entirely genetically engineered crop diet their entire lives. And folks who look at animal feed, they study what does the liver look like? What does the tongue look like? All these saleable parts, especially, you know, are there abscesses? They know those animals inside and out upon slaughter. And so they would know if something was wrong. There is absolutely nothing wrong there. We understand its limitations with respect to the environment and how resistance to the insect control, BT, and how resistance to glyphosate, Roundup herbicides, how that is a problem. And we know it's a problem in different areas. But those are the realistic problems and limitations of that technology, which overall looks very, very positive.
And Dr. Folta, we've got an email question here from one of our listeners asking, is a peel used on bananas? That seems to be one of the fastest fruits that would spoil due to oxygen and such. And if it is not, why not?
You know, I haven't seen any reports of it used on bananas, but banana supply chain is very unique. They're gassed, they're shipped here green, gassed at the ports in California and distributed throughout the country, ripening on the way. And so the supply chain is pretty tight with bananas already. It probably would be impractical to apply a peel to them too, because they're boxed and shipped boxed. You would have to unbox them and add a peel. It just probably isn't practical right in the supply chain.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to things that you are doing in class with students, are these the types of conversations that you have with them? Or what is it that you're actually doing on a day-to-day basis down there in Florida?
Oh, this is the best. I changed the way I teach class. We have all the information in the world right inside this thing, and I'm holding up my phone. The problem is what information is good and what information is bad. And so I've switched to teaching people rather than, you know, here are facts and data, but teaching how do you know what information is real? And how do we read a scientific paper? And how do we know if a website's legitimate? And so it's more a process of vetting information and determining if information is valid. And then how to communicate that information with friends and families, people online. So I'm trying to create more people who do what I do, create more deputies of science, and hopefully send them out and be enthusiastic about sharing good science.
I just messaged the guys here in our background and I said, well, then how do we get ChatGPT to talk farmer and be accurate? Because I don't want ChatGPT just talking one-sidedly on a subject. What do I have to do to change that algorithm?
That's a good question. But at the same time, understand the what I do to my students is I tell them, write me an essay on blank, 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 and they write the essay. Then I tell them to go use ChatGPT to write the same essay. And this does two things. One, it makes me see that they actually write it because it's not the same as the GTP version. But it also shows them the strengths and limitations of those tools and the fact that your own voice is stronger. And so when trying to get it to speak farmer, it means those things just parse the web for information about farms that farmers put there. And so the way to get better language from farmers, the way to get to speak farmer is to get more farmers to speak. And if you can get more farmers creating content about their operations, what they do, and how it really is in the trenches, then ChatGPT will find that and incorporate it into its algorithms.
You know, as you said, it's farmers in the trenches, and that would include yourself. Mm-hmm. We have had a guest on in the past who was a citrus agronomist. I better look up his name. I think you might know each other.
I'll find it for you right now.
Okay. But he talked about citrus greening, and I'm going to ask about that as kind of an update, because I bet it's been a year since we had him on and talked about that disease in citrus in Florida.
Yeah, the situation is not good. Citrus production is down 90%. The trees are still very sick everywhere. There's no obvious cure that is on the horizon. The good news is that we do have new initiatives to begin to incorporate genetic engineering into citrus, a new transformation center that should facilitate those efforts and make it go faster. The big problem is how do you go from a solution to 60 million trees in a short time? And I think the citrus industry will be back. It's just going to look different. And we grow citrus at my place, but we sell direct to consumer and we're isolated. And so we don't have a problem with disease. The big citrus industry, it's still a battle and will continue to be for the near future.
Gene McAvoy.
That was him. Gene McAvoy.
Oh, yeah, Gene.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw Gene last night. Yeah, we had dinner at a place with him. So, yeah.
See, this is the way ag works. Everybody's connected somehow. So we greatly appreciate all of your expertise, background. You let us throw a random amount of topics at you, Dr. Folted, and they're always willing to answer them. In the last couple of moments that we have, does anything come to mind that you want to make sure folks are thinking about or looking for as they do their research for food and safety of it, et cetera?
Yeah, I think it's really important to be able to identify good information and share it. So when someone you know or you follow in your network, someone in social media tells you something interesting or shows you a magazine article or a journal article or shares some news, share it with your networks. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. And these are the people who are working against agriculture. There's a lot more of us. The problem is that we're not as vocal. We're not sharing each other's information and we have full-time jobs. And so this is what makes it tricky. We have to understand that part of our job now is to advocate for agriculture and advocate for each other. Because if we all get together and share this information in our networks, we will easily overcome the bad information. So share, share, share.
That's great. And we just had one last question roll in here.
Sure.
Will you ask Dr. Kevin Folta, what is a molecular biologist? What is molecular biology?
Yeah, so I'm a DNA scientist. So we understand DNA structure and function and the ways that genes are expressed, the mechanisms of gene expression and how they relate to traits. So a molecular biologist may be someone who understands the genes that are related to flavors, aromas, disease resistance, maybe a tree that's dwarfed, what's the mechanism at the level of the DNA that allows that to happen. Once we understand the DNA traits that are there in the blueprint, it makes breeding for traits we like a lot easier. So I have a really good place in the world of plant breeding and understanding what traits do.
We keep saying we're
last
almost done.
Question.
Last question.
We're
but then I did get a listener who emailed me just in the nick of time. If Dr. Folta, if the United States got rid of all genetically modified and all the traits of food and pesticides, herbicides, et cetera, in the world, how many people would starve?
Yeah, that is a very good question. You know, it's a very hard one to put a number on. But what I can say is the number of people that could have been served if the technology went out further. That especially in the developing world, the people number of children who would not have suffered from vitamin A deficiency would probably be on an order of a million a year. There's so many people who have been lost because of very simple micronutrient deficiencies that would be easily corrected with genetic engineering. And these are the reasons why I get excited about talking to people about technology. Innovation is arrested unless we communicate it, and we have to have the social license to deploy it. So it is a great technology that's proven to do good things. We just have to be a little more vocal about getting its application to those who need it.
That's great. This has been awesome, Dr. Kevin Folta. I want to thank you very much for coming on again with us and talking to us, well, a little about a lot of different things here.
No, my pleasure. I love the fact that we can talk about a lot of different topics that are relevant to food and farming. So anytime.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I don't know if you do any YouTube or social media or anything like that in terms of what you do and advocation. But if you want to plug those, feel free to do so if anyone wants to follow along with your information. Yeah.
Well, I host the weekly Talking Biotech podcast. I'm on a brief hiatus right now, but that's gone on 9 years since I was on Joe Rogan years ago. There's also, I have a YouTube channel that's gaining a little more presence. We mostly do stuff for my wife's farming operation. That's the main thing I do there. But I'm on Twitter at Kevin Folta, KevinFolta. And I have a professional Facebook page at Kevin M. Folta, my middle initial M, and that's where you can find me, and we'll share lots of good stuff.
Awesome. Well, appreciate it, and we hope you have a great rest of your day, and hope things are they're nice and quiet with the hurricane heading in your way.
Yes, please.
Fingers crossed. Right. Yeah, fingers crossed. I got to go home and tie up a high tunnel, so take it easy. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks, no problem. Kevin. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. Forecast, Ag Topics, they're coming up next. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 1:53:30 right now. We'll have a rundown on your forecast coming up in just a moment. But if you want to join in on our conversation, feel free to do so. 701-293-9000.
And thanks to those who did. I was getting emails and all sorts of messages over here. We're talking corn yield bushels in Iowa to what happens if we don't have GMOs in the world. And a statistic, Kevin didn't share it in our segment with our guest, but one that is often used is that if we did not use the pesticides that we do, whether it's for bug disease or weed control, we would not harvest 40% of our crop.
And people would die. I mean,
you would have
malnutrition
scarce food sources, malnutrition.
No, we just switched to what they did in that one movie where you don't eat food anymore. You get all of your nutrition from pills.
Can't wait.
Where you just take
10
pills a day, and that's all the nutrition you need for your calorie diet.
Yeah, I'm still.
What movie was that?
I don't know, because I'm going to stick with the corn and the cow that's here in the studio.
Yeah, I like the cow.
I'm going to have beef and beer.
Although I'm going to trade the corn out for barley hops.
That's fine, we can do that. Your corn can make whiskey.
I'll pass on the rice.
Corn can make whiskey.
Yeah.
Don't pass on the rice.
I'll pass on it because I'm not a big Bud Light fan or Budweiser fan. Oh. I'd rather drink.
But hold on. I had a listener drop off some wild rice for me yesterday. Thank you to Tom for doing that.
Oh, well, that's good stuff.
From northern Minnesota. So that's a rice we can get behind.
Yeah, because Bud Light, that's rice beer, right?
I believe there is rice in there,
yes. I thought it was rice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're smiling. What's going on?
You're not a Bud Light fan?
Well, no, I'm not. I don't like the way it tastes.
Really?
No.
He's more of a craft beer guy.
I like those two. I really like Grain Belt a lot. The German wheat ale.
Grain Belt has had a huge resurgence in the last few months.
Yeah, go Grain Belt.
I've seen
go Shells, New Ulm, Minnesota.
That's right. I've seen it on tap in a lot more places.
Mm-hmm. They used to do a Mexican lager a few years ago, and I've been really wanting it badly, and they haven't been making it. Sorry, Mexico? Is that what you said, Bridget?
Avocados from Mexico.
Mexico.
Actually, there's a Mexican lager that Laughing Sun Brewery out of Bismarck makes that you should try.
Really?
Yes.
So I don't think I've had that one. They came in, they were with us, was it a little over a year ago?
I think it might have been.
And it was it North Dakota?
I Heart North Dakota. They didn't come in studio, but I brought you beer from them from Agronomy on Ice.
Well, they were on our show, though.
I don't think so. I think I just brought you the beer.
The head brewmaster from Laughing Sun was on.
God darn it. I have short memory. Yeah,
how could you forget? He was such a great interview.
We've had a couple brewmasters on that have been outstanding.
Indeed.
So
I think we're due for another one.
Haven't had on-air booze in a while.
Actually, that would be really... So idea here for coming up shows, we get the head brew person down at Shell's.
Okay, make the
to
call.
To talk about what all goes into the different beers that they make between Grain Belt, Shell's, and I think they have a third little side, don't they?
There's another
Shell's, Grain Belt.
There's another
brewery
down there that makes the Farm Girl beer, and I like that one.
Interesting. Dean's going to start looking it up.
Yeah,
now.
So somebody start booking. October's coming fast, kids.
All right, well, I'll see what I can do down there.
Okay, sounds
down
good.
In New Ulm. I got a few contacts in that neck of the woods. Let's see if we can just do it by sound.
No problem. I'm getting shout outs here on Grain Belt. A lot of fans.
Oh, Grain Belt's big.
Yep.
Dean? What's that forecast looking like? He's looking at beer. There's beer in your forecast.
He's looking at
There's
beer.
There's beer in my forecast.
Dean's That's, already on vacation.
What. Actually, that is what I actually... I'm probably going to have a couple beers and listen to Kevin Folta's interview with Joe Rogan tonight.
Perfect. Yeah, we've got nice warm weather, above normal temperatures through the weekend with temperatures the next couple of days in the mid-80s, some spots reaching the upper 80s. Windy tomorrow, winds lighten up Friday, Saturday. And then early next week, we're seeing signs of cooler weather back to normal, 60s. But it looks like, and the LRC has been touting this around, what was it, the 7th to the 11th, that we might have our first freeze. Some of our longer range models are now starting to agree that towards that 10th of October, we could start seeing much cooler weather heading into the area.
So,
are you missing the cold?
No. But I have, okay, I have a little something here.
Oh.
For all of us who used to have to pick rocks as kids,
oh.
There is a company, Pick Rock, out of the fields. Like, okay. Pick them up, lift them, carry them away. Yep. There's a company called TerraClear. They now will fly a drone over your field. They will map where your rocks are, and then they will help you go back with your skid steer loader or your tractor and find them and pick them up. Or you could send an autonomous tractor out there to go pick rock for you.
Isn't that what your kids are for?
Right.
I actually got to do that in my farming simulator game, except it's already mapped out for me.
TerraClear.
And then I just send the equipment in and I pick them rocks.
That's what this is. That's what this is. TerraClear will do it for you. So
I dump them in the neighbors.
Children
field.
Everywhere are rejoicing. Parents everywhere are like, oh, crap, I had to do
I
it
think
first.
More kids need to go pick rocks nowadays.
Better than pound sand?
Sometimes.
I don't know.
Not all the time.
I don't know about that. Anyways, we're out of time. Bye.